the Holy Spirit is real, and that when I was 6 years old, I, became a believer, and it was a real thing. In some ways, I feel like it's easier as a child to walk with God and not really question a lot of things. And I think sometimes as you get older, the logic and the reason starts to challenge some of that childlike faith.
Welcome to Are You Real? Finding the Authentic You, the podcast that focuses on Christians that are active in everyday life. Join in as we speak to everyone from successful business owners to educators to athletes about their faith and how it helps them reach out and revolutionize those around them to do the same. And now get ready to roar with your host, the voice of manifestation, John Fuller.
Hey, Roar Nation, John Fuller here, and I am way excited to introduce today's super special guest, Blake Kanica. Blake, you fired up and ready to go?
Yes.
All right. So Blake is a Grammy award-winning multi-instrumental and composer. His music has been noted by the New York Times and featured on Jimmy Kimmel, Jay Leno, The View, Ellen DeGeneres, and The Today Show. At young age of 16, Blake was invited to travel nationwide with an arena tour, giving him his first introduction to the commercial music industry. Professionally, Blake has continued to hone his craft over the years as a musical director, string arranger, and collaborator with many artists, both on stage and in the studio. Currently, he records and performs with the award-winning band For King and Country, while also continuing his creative work in the studio with various artists and projects he finds inspiring. All right, Blake, dude, huge introduction, my friend. You ready? Let's dive into more of who you are and what you're doing, buddy.
Sounds good.
So tell us about you, man. Tell us about your music, what you're doing, and your passion.
Well, that's quite a lot, and I'm so grateful for you taking the time to reach out to me. I don't do a lot of these things, and so I think it's my father-in-law to blame for...
Yes, it is, my friend.
Usually I feel like I've perfected the art of flying under the radar, but you kind of nailed me down on this, so good job.
Well, thank you.
I grew up, just sort of boy at the piano for, an embarrassing amount of hours, and really just coming to love, the deep magic of music and not really fully understanding the mystery of it, but finding a way to somehow relate to it, with my personality and thought process and everything. So getting older, you sort of meet other musicians and you join bands and bands break up and you join other bands and you getting involved with a lot of churches and then eventually sort of going through a whirlwind, ending up here in Franklin, Tennessee and working with some of my favorite people and people that have become dear friends. So that sort of manifested into a lot of, pop music and music that goes on the radio and also, film stuff and just sort of a variety of different things. And it's sort of crazy. I think you can sit back and you can make plans for this sort of thing, or you can just sort of follow the stream. And the Lord has been a crazy sort of step of faith into not really knowing that you can really make a career out of this. And, day after day, the Lord continues to provide and working with people that inspire me. So it's been a crazy journey.
So during this journey, as you've gone on, have you had like a scripture, like a success quote that I ask people that's kind of just been, foundational for you? Or I should say a scripture that the Lord just really laid on your heart as you've gone through this journey.
Oh, yes. I mean, I would say that in this current season right now, like even just the last month or two, I feel like it's been the reminder that the Lord, goes before you and fights your battles. It's not something that I didn't know until now, but sometimes it's God reminding you in specific ways. And so that's kind of been this season. I think probably overall, Psalm 23, David, my dad's in the news industry. And when he'd gone on a trip to Israel when I was a little boy, and he came back with this wooden statue of David. And, he probably got it for, the equivalent of 10 or 20 US dollars when he was over there. But he was over there doing this sort of news series on the footsteps of Jesus. And so he came back with this and gave it to me. And since then, it's been the one thing that has been on my, studio desk, which when I was younger was not that much, but now it's become more substantial and that's still there. And so Psalm 23 has probably been the most constant truth through this whole thing, and a lot of it has been hard. I mean, I think that there's parallels, you know, through music and art into all these different avenues of spirituality, and being able to learn about honesty, even through music, being able to learn about, you know, walking through the valley of the shadow of death and express that in music and not being afraid, or, you know, the feeling of your cup overflowing, you know, any of that stuff. I mean, dwelling in the house of the Lord and the way that David expressed it, and the wooden statue has just kind of been a reminder. And I don't know, I think even poetically, that sort of Psalm 23 has been kind of a constant, I would say.
Okay. I want to ask you this. During this journey, you talked about being a whirlwind, and I'd love to dive a little deeper into that, if you don't mind. What has been, I think a lot of times people think, I have other friends in the music industry, so I've seen the ups and downs of it, the pluses and minuses, but I think a lot of times what all people see is, you know, you on a poster or at a concert, and people just see fame and they think fortune and it's just all glamour. And that's, I think, the facade sometimes that people don't realize it's a two-sided coin. What would you say for you has been the hardest struggle going down this journey for you?
That is such a good question. I think that it's probably servanthood. I think there's a mindset in everything you just described that is to be served, to be idolized, to, you know, I mean, I even remember being young and we would go in the living room and play for our parents, you know, little instruments, and it wasn't anything but melodies, you know, on a recorder or a piano or whatever, a little Lego trumpet. And there was that sense of, oh, you've pleased your parents. You know, you do something that brought people a lot of joy. And I think that oftentimes the onset of those feelings that send people off into careers of music are such a good thing. Like, but so often it's manipulated, and it's the train goes off the tracks at some point, and it becomes about fame and it becomes about other things. And that's why you have a long list of artists that were at one point, you know, serving the Lord and then end up, you know, in sort of the middle of the mainstream in a bad way. And I think that it's been I've felt those struggles, you know, just being honest, that you feel the struggle of, you know, you're on stage and there's 30,000 people and they're cheering, and it does something for you just as a human, you know. And I don't think that, I think heaven's meant to be like that. And there's the aspect of people worshiping together that's so beautiful. But I think even as you get into the pop world, there is that sense. And I think that being reminded through all of this, and that's why I think my situation is quite unique, because a lot of times I am more on the production side, or I am more kind of a one degree away from the artist, and I'm serving them. And so that's kind of the way the Lord has sort of set me up, has been, you are going to serve a lot of these people that, you know, I've kind of put in this position to have a lot of fame. And like I said, I've been able to fly under the radar, and it's been more about learning to serve the people that I'm producing or recording for. So that's probably been, it's been a humbling thing, you know, because it's like you get caught up in this stuff and there are runners that can, you know, take you to go get whatever you need, or there's different things catering, and all of a sudden in your mindset, it's like, oh, I'm receiving this stuff, and that can become dangerously normal.
Yeah.
So I think the way that God has set me up, not necessarily to be, you know, the one that's crossing the finish line and landing the touchdown, but maybe more of the one that's kind of the supporting actor to a lot of those people. So yeah, that's been, I would say that.
Yeah, that's awesome. I appreciate you saying that, because I think anybody that gets elevated, I don't care who you are, that's just a struggle. And I appreciate your vulnerability on that and being honest, because I think a lot of times people, especially that are Christians, want to be like, oh, you know, as if it's not a struggle, or we want to downplay that. But when in fact, we all have struggles. And it's just, I think it's having great people around us to kind of call us out on our crap sometimes. Like, you know, I have friends in my life that are able to say, hey, you know, you're being a jerk, or you're being prideful, or you're being something. And I love that about my friends, because, you know, I want to have those relationships to where if I'm falling, as you say, off the track, I want somebody to call me out on it.
Yeah. And I think this weird parallel between people that I feel like are actually making, not all the time, but often it's like people that are the most sincere and humble, like in their personal life, are the ones that kind of astound me at also being some of the best artists, you know. And I think that the spiritual connections between all of this stuff, like walking in humility and being a servant, somehow your mind and your heart and your brain cells and everything, it positions you in a way to receive some of these ideas. And, you know, even in my life, it's like I can look back at times when maybe I wasn't doing that as much, and it might have been, you know, artistically not as, you know, moving or honest or real. And I think that often, like, the closer I think you get to the center of the musical earth and the core of where, you know, some of these things come from, it should humble you. And unfortunately, it can kind of have the opposite effect, where actually we were in London in May, my wife and I, and one of my friends who's a cellist over there, a really proficient cellist, he was saying that, you know, even being in London, when he might go, you know, record on the Sherlock TV show, you know, or some master blockbuster hit movie. And then when he leaves the studio and walks home, he has to walk past all these statues in these museums. And it kind of gives him perspective of whatever he did that day really isn't that great. And if it lasts thousands, you know, hundreds of years, and it's still critically acclaimed, you know, then maybe it's something great. But I think if we get in our bubble and if we think too highly of ourselves, it's so easy to go down that road of, you know, feeling like you're a legend, when in truth, everything comes from the Lord, any good idea. And yes. I think when you really have that mindset, and my wife, Brittany, who she's such a philosopher and a historian, and she reminds me of a lot of this, but we talk about how the good, like even Aristotle and a lot of these brilliant minds that lived a long time ago, you know, they even realized in ways that in some ways the good already exists and you're simply discovering it. And so to say that, you know, I created this or I did this, that is completely untrue in my mind, because the Lord created everything. You can see in the wings of a butterfly, you know, a pattern that might be on the coolest designer, you know, clothes. And it's like, that's existed, and we get to rediscover it and repurpose things. But yeah, it's more like we're treasure hunters than actual, you know, godlike creators ourselves.
I like what you said, treasure hunters, because this last week I spoke, I ended a conference, and I was a guest speaker, and I was close it out with finding your purpose and the things that we're created to do. And one of the things I talked about was that they're gifts. So everybody has a gift and a talent, and we need to operate in those things, because it's like God shining through us to show himself to the world. But like what you said, when it comes down to it, it's a gift. And what does that mean? It was given from the Lord. So it's really easy to not say, not look what I've done, but look what God's done through me, or look what God has given me. Because in a sense, all we're using is we figure out how to use the tool that God gave us. Really, in sense, is what I think about.
Yes, exactly. And I mean, we are created in the image of God. We are made to create. And I mean, all throughout scripture, we can see that. But I think it's a shift in mindset from feeling like, and it's so freeing. Like, so I'm a very melodic person. And a lot of times it could be string arrangements, or it could be, you know, hooks or melodies or what have you. And I remember, you know, at certain stages when I was younger, I probably felt more pressure, like it was my job to conjure up this stuff. And the simple freedom of realizing that, you know, inspiration comes from the Lord. There is this deep well of truth, even as an artist, that you can go to and be inspired by. And it takes so much of the pressure away to feel like it's me delivering this stuff. And it's just like, you can, you know, close your eyes and you can just listen and things can just come. And it's not, I think it's very dangerous to, you know, take on the notion and the identity that we're the ones that are necessarily doing this stuff. I mean, the good, true, and the beautiful, I think that there are, I mean, a lot of these melodies, I'm sure that they exist in heaven in their perfect form. And we're just sort of bringing heaven to earth in certain ways and listening to the heart of God and, you know, creating out of that. And I think that's when some of them, and I think that people can do that even if you don't fully understand what you're doing. But right, there is such a mystery to it, and that it just has fascinated. I mean, it's more fascinating now than it has ever been in my life.
Absolutely. So on this journey you've been on over these last couple of years, so you obviously started at a really young age playing music, singing. So obviously you've had this moment where, I don't know if you're on stage or you're doing something and you're like, wow, like this happened, or this is me. This is, I mean, there had to be that moment. Like, you're like, this is surreal. I can't believe this is happening. I've, like, quote unquote, like arrived, or whatever you want to say. I know you're very humble, but take me to that moment where it was just like, I can't believe all this is happening, and here I am.
Oh, my goodness. Well, there's been so many different versions of that, and it's so interesting because there would have been, you know, the first time maybe that I ever, growing up playing classical piano, basically on my own, by myself, in my family's living room, probably driving all of them absolutely crazy. That was so much of, you know, what music was. So if initially it was like, oh my goodness, it's something as simple as sitting by yourself and discovering a chord that would just make you weep, you know, and you just, you play it over for hours, over and over and over again. And then, and that's a moment. And then you get older and it's like, maybe it's that first time that you're actually playing with another musician and you're sort of feeling the chemistry of whatever that is. And it probably wasn't even very good, but it was just that you're tapping into these unknown things. And then you get older and, you know, so I think probably more recently, there's a gentleman by the name of Matt Hales from the UK, and he has written a lot of music, a good handful of records under the name Aqualung. Okay. And probably the last, exactly what you're saying, type of moment that was just like a, I can't even believe that this is happening, was when I got to play a show with him at the El Rey in Los Angeles. And that was just, I mean, playing some of my, I mean, if you look at my iPod, which it's all different now, but your iTunes and maybe your top 20 most played songs ever. I mean, there are probably two or three in there from him. You know, we got to play that night. And that was something that if you told me, you know, years and years ago that would happen, I would have laughed hysterically because there's no way that could ever happen. And that's pretty profound. I think that another thing is it's not, sometimes they're not things that you can very easily describe because sometimes you're on stage and I'm a quiet person. I don't do a lot of these, you know, interviews as much as I love this. It's just not my, something that I think I open myself up to a whole lot. And maybe I should. You're helping me. You're pushing me.
That's what I'm known to do.
Yes. Yes, I am enjoying this. But there's a lot of times that you're on stage and there are people that you have never met before. You know, they may be right in front of you and you're both sharing the same moment so profoundly and you don't even know who they are. But some of these moments, you know, they can be worshipful or they can be whatever, and you can see in people's faces things and you don't fully understand, but it's like you can look at each other and you can have these understandings of the profoundness of a moment. There's a song with For King Country called Shoulders that I really enjoy playing and I play piano on it. And a lot of times we're playing it and people are just, you know, and this is largely at a pop show, you know, and it kind of becomes this worshipful moment and you're just playing and you're looking out and it might be, you know, a dad holding his daughter and he's just weeping or someone and you look at them and you wonder if they've lost someone recently or because of just the profound emotion that, you know, and then that affects you and then that goes back into the music and it becomes this back and forth thing. And the crazy thing is you never know when those moments are going to happen. You never, ever know. And those are always really special. And so sometimes it's just memories of feeling like you've connected with complete strangers. And if it hadn't been for music, that would have never happened. And that continues to just blow my mind.
So I'm curious, as you were growing up, did you ever, I mean, just hearing the passion in your voice and talking about it, I mean, there's no doubt that you love music. Was there ever a time, though, you felt you needed to pursue something else? Or did you just always feel like, man, this is what yes. I was created to do, and this is what I'm going to do? What, take me there.
Yes. And that's why, I mean, even, you know, going back to Psalm 23 and how that's been such a constant among other scriptures is because Bono says that it takes faith to move from one note to the next. And when I heard that, it's so simple, but it struck me as true because most of the time, and not that, you know, messing up musically is the end of the world or anything, but a lot of times when you get nervous and you give in to fear, and those are the times that maybe you lose your confidence and you might flub something or you might, you know, not be fully alive creatively or even just as a person. And so I think that kind of growing up and falling in love with instruments, like I would just find instruments and I would just somehow have this connection with them. And I remember even taking pictures of orchestras and arranging orchestras. And even if I couldn't find an instrument, I would build it with Legos.
Wow.
And practice on it as if it was real. Then you get older and all of a sudden you start to become more aware of the reality of finances and, you know, all the things that it takes to make life happen. And right. I think that there was a part of me that and I'm not proud to say it, but didn't have the faith to really move from even one, you know, season to the next. And I sort of on trying to use a logical thought process, I'm like, I think I should go to college. I think I should, because I did do that tour when I was 16, and that was amazing and eye-opening and really helped. I sort of got it. I'm like, okay, I didn't quite understand the commercial music industry. I think I have a little bit more of a foundation of how things work. And so in theory, that should have served as probably more of a launch pad, maybe to moving to Nashville, you know, when I was 18 instead of when I was 24, that kind of thing. And I ended up going to Texas A&M because I sort of thought that was the best education I could get for the money, which I didn't have a lot of, and ended up studying economics, which I enjoy business and I enjoy especially the creative side of it. And so economics fascinated me, and I did study that for a little while. But I was, honestly, I was miserable because I left all of my instruments at home, and I was basically, okay, it's time to be an adult now. This is done. I went to college and did not play. I don't think I played a single instrument for about 3 years.
Wow.
You know, maybe more than maybe just a couple minutes of picking up a buddy's guitar in a dorm room and, you know.
Blake, I'm just curious. During those 3 years, though, was there just like inner turmoil, like something just didn't feel right with inside of you?
Yes, exactly. And it's easier to see that now. At the time, you just think that, you know, you're trying to grow up and you're trying to figure things out. And as the dust settles years later, you can look back crystal clear and realize that I just didn't maybe have the right faith to make the jumps that I need to jump. Now, at the same time, the Lord is so redemptive, and the grace that he has shown me, even in those moments of, you know, sort of my doubting Thomas, little faith moments. I mean, this is, it's madness, but I'm in Aggie Men's Club, and one day this, you know, dreadlock guy, Jason Castro, shows up, and I met him briefly, and it wasn't like a, you know, we became best friends, but we definitely connected and knew each other, and I could tell that he was kind of into art, and he eventually went on to American Idol, that he had just kind of joined the group, and I've met him, and it was enough for us to have some kind of connection. So he goes off to American Idol. I'm still in school, kind of scraping by, trying to figure things out. And I got a call from a friend of mine who said, hey, there's a guy named Brandon Heath who, you know, needs a guitar player, which at the time, that's probably what I was the best at the moment. And I ended up kind of doing some shows. And so I think Jason had seen me play like an Island Party, maybe. I don't remember. And then everyone in the world had seen him on TV on the show. And so the sort of, you know, college attempt is kind of starting to fall flat, and I'm feeling pretty discouraged. And there are some other challenging dynamics just with some family stuff. And I ended up getting a Facebook message one day from Jason. He said, hey, I'm holding an audition in Los Angeles with Atlantic Records to build a band. And kind of like you're saying, that tension of those past few years where that's really all I wanted to be doing, and you're kind of in denial about it, and you know, you're kind of like, no, I just need to suck it up and, you know, go get something more practical. And when I got that, it was like I just completely lit up, and everything in me was like full steam ahead. Like,
yeah.
You know, and it was kind of like a bow and arrow that had been pulled back almost to a breaking point. And I went out to Los Angeles. By the grace of God, ended up working out where I joined Jason's band and ended up traveling the world really with him for a few years. And that's kind of where I got into the music director world. And so that's when the whirlwind kind of started, where everything was just like, everything shifted, and that became the priority. And it was still really hard, and there were still enormous challenges that I don't even know that I'd want to go back and do again if I had to. But it's a different thing. It's a different thing when you're in the will of God. And I don't think I was necessarily fully out of it by trying to go study economics. I don't think that was, you know, a sin or anything like that, but I think it was just a second best. And so that's what eventually, and I'll be forever. I mean, Jason is one of the most amazing, lovely people, him and his wife and their whole family. And so that ended up just being an amazing friendship, and, you know, him just being really encouraging of me kind of getting back into everything.
I want to ask you this. If you could go back to like a younger you, maybe in college or something, where you're, obviously you have hindsight now, but you could tell yourself something, and knowing that you had that inner turmoil, it just didn't quite seem right. What age or where would you go back to? What would you tell yourself, knowing what you know now, that like, it sounds like you're doing your purpose, you're the gifts and talents that you've been given by God, you're walking those out. What would you go back and say?
That the Holy Spirit is real, and that when I was 6 years old, I, you know, became a believer, and it was a real thing. in some ways, I feel like it's easier as a child to walk with God and not really question a lot of things. And I think sometimes as you get older, the logic and the reason starts to challenge some of that childlike faith. And oddly enough, I was playing at a festival this weekend, and there was a younger guy there who happened to, he was from Dallas and where I kind of grew up, and he sort of knew of me, and he came up and introduced himself. And I just saw that same look in his eyes where it was like, I just felt like he had that same earnest, like, I have to do this. I have to do this. And he's a drummer, I believe, and some other stuff. But I sat down with him at the table and I actually kind of told him exactly what you asked. So I had a chance to think about it. And it was like, be faithful. Don't question things, you know, too much. Pray against pride. Pray against fear. You know, we're all insecure. I think sometimes that some of my favorite artists and creators are sometimes people that have such a raw insecurity, and that's not bad, but I think it's when it manifests itself into, you know, fear, or you're being prideful to, you know, mask the fear that you have. And I just think that unfortunately so easily destroys people. It's not an on, you know, and so this young man had such a pure-hearted desire for this, to make music with meaning. And that's always been something important to me, is I don't want to just go off and, you know, play in a bar some songs that I have no connection to. And other people very well might, but for me, it's always been, what do I feel like matters to people? Like, what will really resonate with people? And the Lord wants our faith, and He wants us to step out of the boat. And I remember, it's so weird how you get these images in your mind, but that scene in Indiana Jones at the end when he's, you know, on the ledge and it looks like there's nothing there, the huge gap, but he has to step across to eventually, you know, have the chance to pick the right cup. You just need to go for it. And there's sometimes where caution and all that stuff is so good and so wise. But I think, like, if I looked at it, you talked about surrounding yourself with the wise counsel. Interestingly enough, you know, going off to college and doing some of those things, it wasn't necessarily something that everyone in my life was like, oh, this is it. This is it for you. This is the right thing. And it was an honest attempt, and the Lord adjusted the sails, and, you know, we moved on. But I think that really having wise counsel, and you seek the Lord, but I think He also speaks to us through parents and close friends, and music had just always been it. And I mean, I love tennis. I love reading, although I don't have as much time for those things right now. I love, you know, my dad and I just camping like one weekend a month and doing high adventure, you know, backpacking stuff. And it's like, I want to be able to do those things, and I love those things, but there was never the clearness of the call of music in any of those things. And I think that sometimes that, you know, that's how I maybe could have known, but doubted. And fortunately, God is so graceful and redemptive, and
absolutely,
it worked out.
Okay. So we're getting about up on time. I do want to ask you, what is the biggest or your favorite project you're working on right now?
Oh, goodness. Well, things are quite busy right now. There's a rapper by the name of KB who's been out on tour with us. And that's just been an amazing, amazing, amazing thing. I mean, especially with a lot of the racial tensions, you know, going on right now, and just being able to lock arms with, you know, someone that musically and, you know, culturally might be a little bit different, but I have so much admiration for that man, for his faith, his music, his passion. He's been so inspiring. So getting to work on some tracks, you know, for his new record, anything that Freaking Country does, the Smallbone family, they are absolutely incredible, and they've been nothing but a blessing to me and my wife, and even having, you know, Brittany out on the road. And so we're working on a version of Amazing Grace for a movie coming out that I think it resonates with me quite a lot. And that's the best, when you're working on stuff and you just feel like you're just worshiping and it's not even work. And that song is kind of in that. That's been really wonderful. So that's been kind of the things of late. There's another artist from New York that I'm actually going to be in the studio with today here in Franklin, Tennessee. And we're doing vocals for her new record, and she is just a lovely, lovely person and amazing songwriter. And I mean, they're all very different, but I think that kind of the common thread that I look for, and I think finally being at a place where I can be a little bit more selective about taking on projects that really resonate with me, is that they all these people are some of my favorite people that I feel like I'm just learning from and getting to serve in sort of the producer, you know, role. Instrumentalist and arranging and all that stuff, but just kind of realizing their vision, being there to cheer them on, you know, helping kind of chip away at the stone, and at the end, you know, having amazing friendships to show for it.
I like that. Absolutely. All right, Blake, before we take off, I prayed for you this morning, and I want to share something with you. I had a word for you that I thought was funny. I almost gave it to you at the beginning of the show because you made some mention about writing and some things. But do you mind if I share that with you?
Oh, absolutely. Please.
Okay, so the word that I heard the Lord saying for you I saw you and I heard you writing a song that was cutting edge. And the Lord says at first people are going to say that they're not sure about it and they're going to be a little taken back. And it's going to have a slow start and then it's going to grow legs and take off. And the song is going to be so cutting edge that it's going to set a new tone in the industry and it will be the start of a new wave of music.
Wow. Thank you for that.
Absolutely.
Someone praying for you and even just listening for that type of prophecy, and that's a blessing. Thank you, sir.
Absolutely. All right, so as we wrap up, what's a piece of parting advice you'd like to give our listeners?
Oh, goodness. I think I'm too young to be just dishing out advice all over the place, but oh, goodness. I would say, I mean, just something that's been on my mind a lot lately. I think there's a power in mystery, and there's a power in the way that Jesus taught in parables, and I think that the church and music from believers, books even, I think that I just have a great, I don't know if it's wisdom as much as it is just a great hope, is just that we would continue to embrace the mysterious and continue to embrace things that we don't fully understand. And that's just been a constant, I think, blessing to be able to, you know, wrestle with things, to create things that maybe have not the most literal meaning, but they move the deep part of your soul in a really profound way. And so I think just more, I guess, a reminder to myself than anything else is just even going out, you know, into today, it's just listening for those things, looking for those things, the not so obvious, you know, things that actually have sort of the fictional, you know, magic to be able to really transform. Tolkien is one of the best, I think, that I've ever seen at that. And my wife is really into narrative and fiction. And so we're always, you know, we're always like into those type of stories. And I just am constantly amazed at how much I absorb and I learn, even when I don't know it. So I guess wisdom would be careful what you let yourself absorb. Even a lot of things that have probably darker, you know, even in music, you might have things that have some pretty dark things in them that, you know, are wrapped up in like nice, fun, poppy melodies, and you don't even realize what you're singing along to. But somehow that's imprinting itself onto your heart. And so I think just being very aware of not only things that hit our conscious mind, but also things that can kind of seep in even deeper. I've just found that to be important to even be aware of it, because otherwise you go on your way and you can be impacted by all these things mysteriously and sort of covertly and not even realize it.
Absolutely, man. There is a lot of wisdom in that, my friend. So anyways, man, hey, Blake, I just want to thank you so much for being on the show and taking the time. I know this was hard to cram in your schedule, so I just want to thank you for that. And sharing all that. If our listeners want to connect with you or find you somewhere, is there a way we can do that?
If your listeners want to really, really dig, there may be an Instagram account out there.
Okay.
that might get updated every once in a while. But I would say, once again, I'm so behind the scenes that a lot of what you're probably going to see is from the Freaking Country camp, you know, from their stuff or other artists that I'm working with. But yeah, there is, I mean, I do have a Facebook and I do have an Instagram that's just under my name. I do need to get a website that is actually on my, as soon as things slow down enough to really dig into that, to have more formal, you know, outlay of production and, you know, things like that, to kind of just be a home base for everything. Yeah. Other than that, no.
Okay. Well, we'll find you. And Blake, go ahead and just hang on for a second. Listeners, thank you so much for joining in. Man, this was just a fun episode to do music. I love just Blake's mind and the things that he's talked about. We will have all the resources and links on the front page for this interview. Go ahead and go to our website, areyoureal.org, and you'll see Blake, and he'll also pop up front page or in the search bar. So just remember, listeners, at the end of the day, it's all about be real, be authentic, and be you and be blessed. Thank you.
That's all for this episode of Are You Real? Finding the Authentic You. Be sure to go to rureal.org for your free questionnaire to identify your gifts and talents and how you can use them to help people become leaders and catapult them into their destiny to help others become the leaders of tomorrow. We appreciate you spending your time with us and look forward to helping you reach out and revolutionize next time on Are You Real? Finding the Authentic You.